In Jude 17, he says this. I want to talk to you about For His Glory. It is our missions theme this year, and I do hope you can come next week. Doug Clay is going to be here. He's going to tell us some amazing things and challenge us in ways that we need to be challenged. Amen. Jude 17 through 25. But dear friends, remember what the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. When they said unto you, in the last days, in the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These people who defied you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupt flesh. Lord, in the next few moments, captivate our hearts and our minds, and may you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, have your way in my heart. In our hearts together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is tough to have faith in a world of scoffers. And that's what Jude says. Scoffers are all around. And you and I have to understand, people are going to make fun of your faith. People are going to make fun of what you believe. People are going to, how many of you know our faith is built upon the Word of God. Our faith is built upon the history of what God has done in the past. And our faith is built upon a hope of what God is going to do tomorrow. That He who began is going to finish. That's our hope in Him. And scoffers look at us and they're mockers and they just mock you. And because they are operating on their own ungodly natural desires. They're operating on worldly principles. They think this is all there is. I'm glad I know better. Amen. I'm glad I know this is just a sampling of what God created for us to live through. But I'm telling you, there's something greater He has in store for us. Amen. You can't discover that apart from Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the truth is, scoffers tend to be very arrogant. I was talking to someone the other day. Well, they're an atheist. They said, my friend's an atheist. I said, do you tell this atheist friend of yours? I'd like to meet him because, you know, when you say there is no God, there's no God. How do you know that? I really want to ask, have you been everywhere in the universe to make that declaration? Because there's no way you can be everywhere and say that there's no God. I mean, the only way you could say there was no God is if you've been everywhere and you ain't God. There's no way you can make that. Well, I just think that if there is a God, He's unreachable. Then you need to read the Bible. Because a God who loved us and created us reached down to us and made Himself reachable through His Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, there are scoffers, and they tend to be very arrogant. You and I not need to be arrogant. We walk in humility before the Lord. Humility before the Lord and in love. Yeah. The truth of the matter is many scoffers are afraid to explore faith. They want to sit on the outside and just throw stones. How many of you know the Bible says this? Taste and see that God is good. I mean, I don't know about you, but you can look at a steak dinner all day long, and it's not going to benefit you much. As a matter of fact, I don't want to look at the steak dinner all day long. I want to eat the sucker. I want to see if it looks as good as it. And I'm going to tell you, if you taste God, you will find Him to be good. He's good. You got to participate in God to discover His goodness, His greatness, His love toward you. You can stand outside and throw stones all day long. But the truth of the matter is, this is meant to be experienced. And that's why He invites us to come. All you who are heavy laden and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Rest. Yeah. And sometimes people that are scoffers have come to faith and they find fault because of the way they were treated. Because they're hypocrites in the room. Have you noticed? Now, don't fib to me. How many of you have ever met a hypocrite? Let me see your hand. If you haven't, you need to come see me. Because I'm telling you, they're around. Listen, you cannot define God by the hypocrites. Amen? Rabbi Zacharias gives this little great illustration. If I wear this suit coat or this vest, we'll use the vest because I don't know. The vest, you see me wearing this shirt, this vest, and all this, and the next thing you know, you see somebody with a vest like this and a shirt like this robbing the bank and running out the door. What are you going to say? Looks like Pastor Larry to me. Well, guess what? Just because someone wants to put on the suit or the vest or whatever, don't make them a Christian. Don't try to define God by the way someone wants to walk out their lie. You understand? No, and they've been caught up in that. They've been wounded by that, and they can't let go of that. How many know forgiveness works? Glory to God for forgiveness. So we have to know and be aware there are going to be scoffers, but don't let that stop you from living out your faith. Man, don't be ashamed of being a Christian. The other thing he says is watch out for dividers. Those who divide you. I was listening to Brother Superintendent talk about a church got mad because the pastor threw away the coffee can. Now that's serious stuff. It's the coffee can they used for years. And they kept refilling it, obviously. But it was the church coffee can. And the pastor threw it away. They actually called the superintendent. They actually voted out the pastor. Watch out for those dividers. Dividers. There are dividers within and there are dividers without. You and I need to fight to stand together. Amen. Fight to stand with. Dividers are those who follow natural instincts. They're what one theologian called animal souls. All they operate from is the appetites of me, myself, and I. I want it my way. And if I don't get it my way, I'm taking my toys. Because they want to divide. Can I tell you, you are called to walk with fellow brothers and sisters. And they may be bald. What do you mean by that, Pastor? They may be different than you. God didn't call us to be the same. He called us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He didn't call us all to drive the same car. Because I don't want your car. I like my truck. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're going to be different, but that doesn't mean we can't be together. Amen? Dividers won't surrender to the will of God, the will of the Holy Spirit. How many know sometimes God leads us in strange places? He sets before us obstacles that are bigger than us. You know, when they were wanting to go into the promised land, he sent 12 spies in to spy out the land. 2 came back with a favorable position. Guess what? God wanted them to go and take the promised land. 10 said no, 2 said yes, and guess who got to go? Nobody at that time. But guess what? 40 years later, the 2 who said yes were still alive. Guess where they got to go? Into the promised land. One of them led the mission. And the other one comes to the mountain where the giants are, and he says, give me that mountain. He was an old man by then, 80 plus years he was. But he still had the faith and the determination to take on the giants. Listen, watch out for the scoffers. Watch out for the dividers. And then you should operate differently. Here's the remedy to stand against the scoffers and the dividers. Build your faith. Well, how do you build your faith? Huh? You pray? The word? Faith cometh by hearing the word. There's church in there somewhere. Did you hear me? There's church in there somewhere. What did I just say? There's what? Church in there somewhere. Because listen, you need faith. And the closer we get to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more faith you're going to need. Because my Bible says as he gets closer and closer to his coming, there's going to be a great falling away. Faith. Build yourself up. And then he says this, pray in the Spirit. You and I need to learn how to pray in the Spirit. Well, is he talking about tongues there? Is he talking just praying under the unction of the Holy Spirit? Both. Both. I get a little offended at sometimes people want to navigate the scripture to fit their own theological persuasion so that it excludes everything else God wants to empower us with. Can I tell you, everything that God has given us is to live holy and righteous in him. And you can't say, I just want to do this part and not that part. No, plunge in. Don't be restrictive at what God wants to do through and in your life. Well, I don't understand it. Okay, tell him that. But don't stiff arm God. If you limit God to what you understand, you're done. But I don't know how he forgives me. But he does. Do you hear me? It's not about what I understand. It's about his power and what he's able to do through the sacrifice of his sons. And I'm glad that I am reachable. And so are you. Pray in the Spirit. And then he says this, keep yourself in God's love. Huh? How do you do that? Number one, remember his love for you. See, I believe this, that if there was one person for Jesus to die for, he would have done it. I qualify. That's how he loves us. Amen? He loves us. Remember his love for you. And then the other thing we got to learn to do is celebrate his love. Celebrate his love. Amen? I mean, can you remember the day you got saved? I mean, for Brother Brown, it was 68 years ago, and he's telling me with tears in his eyes, talking about the conviction of God and all that, it was fresh. Why? Because he never forgot the love of God in his life. You and I need to remember the activity of God in our lives. Celebrate his love. That means we share it, and that means we worship. Amen? Yeah. The other thing he says is this, don't forget to wait. We are an impatient world. Microwave it. You got the 30-second society. If it can't be done in 30 seconds. The other day I'm driving through, that drive-through line was long, so I walked in. Mistake. Because this is what you learn when you're in it. They pay more attention to the drive-thru than they do to the walk-in. Everybody counts in God's kingdom. Learn to wait on him. Learn to wait on him. Sometimes we're so busy just getting in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. Learn to wait on him. Spend some time just waiting on him. You need to fall in love with his presence again. Stop being in such a hurry. Some of you, I doubt, have ever fallen in love with his presence. Just to sit in a room with nothing but worship. And let his presence invade your space. Because this is what I know, when he fills the room, he fills me. When he fills the room, he changes me. And then Jude goes on and gives us some more practical advice. He says this, be merciful to those who doubt. Huh? Be patient for those who come to know Jesus. You know what that means? You and I have to talk with kindness. Kindness. And then he says this, save others from the fire. From the fire. Be a witness that warns and rescues. And then he says this, show mercy mixed with fear. And then he says this, hate the very clothing stained by corrupt flesh. What does that mean? Don't participate in their sins. Flee sin. Flee the very appearance of sin, Scripture says. And then he says this again. That's this. We got to be reminded of this. Build your faith. And then he starts again. Pray in the Spirit. Faith doesn't stray far from his love. Faith knows how to wait for the promise of the Father. Faith is not afraid to proclaim, even in the face of fire. Faith is full of mercy. Real faith is full of mercy. Faith stays away from sin. Because sin hinders the work of God. Here's the other thing that faith does. Faith takes risk to make sure the things of God are accomplished. We don't risk enough when it comes to faith. Well, someone might think that's the first thing that gets us. What are other people thinking about? When is the last time you let your faith take a risk? I was listening to a pastor the other day. He was getting his ordination, and he says, you know, when I got from this place of ministry to this place of ministry, I had no job. We were months without work. My wife and I. He says, you know, we began to tithe on what we needed to make. He began to tithe on what he needed to make. Now, he could do that because he had sold some property where he had come from. But how many know when you're tithing your nest egg, there's a risk. He tithed what he wanted to make. He did that for 3 months. And then him and his wife both got jobs. Guess what happened? They started making what they were tithing. Isn't that awesome? I don't know about you, but I don't think that way. I need to think that way. We always want the sure thing before we do the risky thing. Allow your life to take a risk
so God can be glorified. There was a man who was blind, and he said, David, son of David, have mercy on me. And all of the entourage was Jesus was walking by, and they told him, be quiet. Would you please be quiet? You know what he did? He took a risk. David, son of David, have mercy on me. And the more they told him to be quiet, the louder he got. Guess what? The risk paid off because Jesus stopped. His eyes were open. When's the last time you took a risk for God? Luke 18:38, and those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more. Don't you love that? He wasn't intimidated by people of faith. They're hanging out with Jesus. They're traveling with Jesus, and they're the ones telling him, be quiet. You're going to embarrass us. The master ain't got time for you. Aren't you glad God has time for me? He took the risk, received his sight. There were 10 leopards. They all got healed. Only one came back to praise him. He took the risk no one else wanted to do. There was a woman with an issue of blood, who pushed through the crowd to touch the hem. She took the risk, touched the edge of his garment, and was healed. When's the last time you took a risk for God? There was a woman who found herself at the feet of Jesus, washing his feet with her tears. Everybody in the room, well, most of everybody in the room,
if he only knew who was touching him.
He knew. She took the risk. And we're still celebrating her act of love today. Because what does Jesus say? Who has been forgiven much, loves much. When's the last time you took a risk? There was a centurion who had a sick person at home. And he comes up to Jesus and he says, hey, my servant is sick and he needs you to touch him. Well, I'll be there right there. And he says, no, all you have to do is speak the word and he'll be healed. Nobody else came up with that. Nobody else was wanting, no, they wanted the physical presence of Jesus to walk into the room and touch, walk into the room and do. This man understood something about the authority of Jesus Christ, and he said, all you got to do is speak the word. He took a risk to believe. Yeah. There was a group who had a friend who could not walk. Luke chapter 5, verse 19, and when they could not find a way to go in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. They looked for a way, and the only way to get their friend at the feet of Jesus was to dismantle somebody's roof. I don't know about you. I don't want nobody taking my roof apart. How many of you think that was a pretty big risk? They took the roof off this guy's house, put him in a hole at the feet of Jesus. They took a risk, and Jesus did his part. He healed him.
When's the last time you took a risk? See, I think God's calling us to take a risk. I can't do your risk. You know, for everyone, they all had a different risk to take. You have a risk, I have a risk. All I have to do is be obedient. And sometimes that obedience puts you in a weird position. You know, like giving a tithe on what you want to make before you get there. Before you have a job, before anything happens. Sounds crazy to me. How about walking around the walls of Jericho? Sounds crazy to me. You know what amazes me? They did it. I don't know about you. We're going to walk around. What? Are we going to do this? Walls? Do you see how thick these walls? You were going to do what? Can you believe it? On the third day, I'm saying, are we going to do this again? Nothing happened yesterday. Why are we doing it again? Because he told us to. Because Joshua was leading the way and God spoke to him.